Welcome to Spirit Therapy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, right. You have to wait for the lady to talk. I always forget about her. So, good evening. This is Spirit Therapy, and I am Nicole Tomasini, and today we are talking about love your body and body image. And I just want to explain a little bit about what Spirit Therapy is. This is our third show, and I didn't really talk about it because I thought it would kind of speak for itself. But in not too many words, really, it's therapy for your spirit, which means that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So everything equates to the spirit and your inner self. And so we give you tools and insights and, you know, some discussion about how to incorporate all parts of yourself so that you can be as happy as possible. So that's what we're doing here. And today we have a wonderful guest. His name is Anselm Richardson. And
there he is.
Go ahead and say hello.
Hello. What's up?
Anselm is a fantastic actor and writer and a wonderful flat friend and also very good with the ladies.
Wow.
I know. quite a headliner right there, isn't it? Quite a billboard.
You are hired as my publicist.
Nice. Thank you very much. Well, it's true. It's easy because it's true. But anyway, so thank you for being here, and here we go. So let's talk about our bodies, Anselm.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So I wanted to start with saying that we need to acknowledge the fact that we have been brainwashed for at least 50 years to thinking that we need to be a certain way because of the people that sell us stuff and Babylon keeping us, you know, in a box and making us uncomfortable and therefore probably not feeling so well, and maybe you need to buy their drugs to feel better. You know, I mean, let's face it, there is this whole thing going on. So, and if you've ever picked up any kind of a magazine, be it about fashion or men's or women's, really, and of course everybody is quote unquote perfect, weighs about, if you're a woman, 90 pounds, and they're 9 feet tall, and they're airbrushed, and blah, blah, blah.
And I thought that's what women actually look like.
Yes, of us, really. We walk around,
that's what I see,
you know.
Every day.
But you have an interesting, you know, you do see the beauty. You don't see the magazines, really, walking around. But you do. You live in L.A., don't you?
Yes. Yes, I see the Botox, I see the collagen lip injections, I see all that.
And isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. To them, you know, they feel insecurely okay.
Insecurely
and I'm just like,
okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, okay. If your friends say that it's cool for you to walk outside like that and to be like that, then hey. You know, I who am I to be like, chick, that's not the way to go.
Sure, absolutely. If it truly does bring happiness, and it may. I mean, not everybody that has plastic surgery is miserable afterwards. But I don't know. It seems like a lot of that can come from ideas that this is how they need to be. And do we really need to go through that? And does that really bring happiness? You know, you can go ahead and say a lot of the time, no. I mean, we can look at Michael Jackson, really. You know,
Michael Jackson
happiness?
Was a very happy man. He was very happy. And he was just outgoing and loved people. and didn't feel like he had to go outside wearing a medical mask. That man was happy.
I hope he was sometimes. I do. I do. I mean, you know, I think part of that is true. I don't know how we got so far into Michael Jackson, but really, I think part of that is true, that he that he really did, you know, do whatever he wanted, you know, but there is the question of changing yourself. But again, okay, so barring doing any kind of surgery, people want to be happy with themselves. What?
No, I was saying radical surgery. But you know what was sick? I was on Facebook. I haven't seen the ad in a few. You know, like those little ads they put in, like, in the left side? It's like random shit that they're just like, you know, do you like film or do you like this? They had one on there of this black woman, like a before and after, for rhinoplasty. Is that the nose surgery?
Yep.
And she had like this full, beautiful African nose. You know, and her eyes are all closed, you know, because they got to look sad in the before picture. Like, I hate myself. I hate, you know, everything. I hate my melanin. And then the after one, I mean, it was straight up like LaToya Jackson. And she's, like, better. And I'm just like, wow.
Wow.
And just, you know, and I'm like, you know, that's me watching Facebook, you know, looking at Facebook, you know, just skimming through Facebook as an adult. Like, what does that do for, like, some little girl somewhere? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's subliminal, like just right over there. Besides any kind of TV that you watch, any kind of commercial, any kind of magazine. I mean, it really is everywhere. And,
absolutely.
And it's been going for so long that we think that either it's always been this way or that this is just how it needs to be, and I'm imperfect, and I, you know, I have to starve myself and be miserable in order to be quote unquote beautiful or for anybody to love me. I mean, really,
yeah.
That's really the page that we're starting from as a society, especially Americans.
Yeah. I mean,
it automatically
tells you that something's wrong with you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
From the start.
Yeah.
From the minute you start to become anything, you know, but a child, and that's when people start to grow into themselves. So we had a guest on one of our other shows on the Here Be Monsters network here on Blog Talk, and on the consciousness shift, we had this lady that was saying, especially for women, that society is telling you that you need to be less than yourself. You need to be a size zero. You need to be nothing. As a psychological tool for control. And it just made so much sense to me. And she put it just so bluntly like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where like these designers are actually making jeans that actually would fit like a size 1 or 2 and calling it 0 just so that the people fitting into the jeans feel better about themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, that is really, really sick. Like, you're not going to be okay unless you are in a size 0. There is no size if it's 0. You know what I'm saying? There's
right.
No size. So,
right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, if that's your ideal, I mean, you're going for an ideal that does not exist in a normal person unless you are like, you know, a greyhound up on 2 legs. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And some women are naturally that size, and a lot of times the ones that are naturally that size want to be different. You know, they want to have the big tits and, you know, the this and the that. It's like it's nothing.
I
want to
have big tits. I want to be
like,
taller.
I'm like, I think guys go through it too. That was going to be my question. Like, you know, so from a man's perspective, like what do you feel like you need to change, or has society told you that you need to be a certain way from,
well,
from being a teenager?
Heard. This is only what I've heard, because I am pretty sexy and godlike, just normally. So there's not really much for me to aspire to. it's just... It's sad. It's sad. You wake up in the morning and there's somebody, like, you know, fanning you with palm leaves and feeding you olives. It's just like, okay, call me Apollo. but I know
everybody should feel that way about themselves.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, yeah. When other people do it, they're just kind of kidding themselves. With me, it's just sort of like, you know, it's Tuesday. But, like with me, I know, like, as far as, like guys are concerned, I know, like when I was a kid in high school, I was kind of, I was heavy set. I wasn't, like fat or anything, but, you know, I was heavier. And, you know, obviously it's not as pronounced to guys as it is, like, the culture, like, you know, tries to, you know, affect women and young girls. But it's still there. You know what I mean? When you're up against, you know, other dudes who are either like athletes or whatever, and you're getting passed up, and you don't have the swag of like Biggie Smalls, where you can be, you know, what do you say? The flavor of your ear? He says, "I'm far from handsome, but damn, I'm toke." You know what I mean? And it's just like you could be that as long as you have swag. Then it's okay. You're like Rick Ross. You know what I mean? It's just like that's like nobody's ideal. But he's got the swag, and it's like it's okay. And all of a sudden, women are just like, oh my god! I remember like my mom was talking about Shabba Ranks when Shabba Ranks was like big for all you kids. Shabba Ranks was a reggae star back in the late 90s or mid 90s, whatever the hell it was. And she was just like, yeah, I just think he's sexy. And I'm like, no, mom, he is not. Shabba Ranks is not sexy. He's an ugly, ugly, ugly man who just happens to sing. And then all of a sudden, you know, women are just like, oh, my God. And it's this thing that's happened through, you know, that we've been conditioned with, you know, and it becomes like this nature v. nurture thing. But like, when women did not have, you know, they didn't have choices. They had to get married to a man that all of a sudden – an ugly person can become attractive if they have the right job, if they have the right whatever, you know what I mean? And what I like that I'm seeing now is like with women getting more, this post liberation movement that we're in, where women are really getting positions of power, they're now more. It's a little bit more of like, you know what? I want something for me. I want a pretty dude. I want a young dude. And the amount of young guys going out with older women has just like expanded, and I find it really interesting. This, you know, the kind of things that happen now. That was a huge tangent. So.
Well, you touched on a lot of good points. I'm gonna backtrack for a second onto, you know, if you have the swag, because that's anybody can have the swag. And what is the swag? The swag is thinking that you're the bee's knees. You're the best thing since sliced bread. And you have to have some sort of self-love and be comfortable with yourself in order for that to work. Because then otherwise, especially as a guy, you just sound like an asshole with a bunch of lines telling people how great you are. But if you really believe, and especially dudes like Rick Ross, like you said, nobody's ideal, but He embraced the way he looks. He's like, listen, this is it. And if you don't think it's fabulous, well, that's your problem. But I'm telling you, this is what fabulous looks like.
If you don't believe that you know, I'm all that, keep it moving because your friend does. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think men... You know, women have done that too, of course, but also society is a little friendlier when men are fat or older or have a pot belly or losing their hair. It's, you know, it's set up by men. So
why are you putting me on blast like that?
On blast?
Yeah, just, you know, he's like, my pot belly, you know, I'm losing my hair. You just like, decide you're just going to describe me to the audience. Is that what it is?
I'm calling you out. Ladies and gentlemen, most of what he said, either in favor of himself or not in favor of himself, is not necessarily true. You can check him out on Facebook and know that none of what he just said was true. But anyway...
And check out his acting. It's great, too. You know, why not plug you? You
never
know.
At Anselm Asylum for you Twitter folks. Thank you very much.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Perfect name.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a big fan of Not Normal. If the listeners haven't realized that yet, they now know, you know, because what is normal? Boring. Anyway.
Exactly.
So, but I think that is something that women right now especially can cultivate for themselves, is that idea of, and men too, but I think this message really is strong for women, is to know that you are absolutely fantastic. You are Mother Earth. You are the life giver. It doesn't matter if you ever have a baby or not. You are part of the web that holds the fabric of the universe together. Without you, there would be nothing. I mean, and it's natural for you to have some meat to you, some substance to you, and whatever you look like, you can make it work today. You just have to know that you're awesome. Forget what all this, you know, this other brainwashing is, you know, anything that makes you feel bad about yourself is brainwashing. It's just, that's never the message. It's never the truth.
Totally. Totally. And I've known some women who are like, not like the classic, what people or like Maxim magazine or like Blacktail will call like, you know, fine or sexy or whatever, like in that kind of a sense, but they know how to carry themselves that lifts them above all else. You know what I mean? And it's just sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And like what you were saying, it has to do with, you know, the confidence in yourself, you know, belief in yourself. You don't need anybody else to tell you that you're this, that, or the third, or you're sexy, or whatever. If you know it, yo, you just flaunt it. And then some women can do that. And I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it has to be. It has to come from within, and it takes some practice. And I wanted to get into, you know, a few tools that people can do to accept what is right now, because I think that's where a lot of us get hung up on our bodies, because even if you start right now in doing something to make your body into what you want it to be, it's going to be a minute, you know. You're going to have to just keep the faith that what you're doing is getting you to your ideal image and allow it to be. But while you're doing that, you know, and I'm saying this is for people that, you know, maybe want to make some changes, but it's you have to start to love now. Otherwise, it doesn't really stick. You know, like I've seen, like, you know, girls that were heavy and they become thin and they're exactly what they've always wanted to be, but yet you can still kind of feel that like heavy energy about them because they still think of themselves that way, even though they're thinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it the mindset, really do yourself a favor and do that first, before you even think about any kind of a diet. And I'm not even a big fan of diets. I think if you fix your brain into, again, accepting what is today, sit there and look at yourself and get past those things that you say, oh, you know, I hate those thighs or I hate this part or whatever. Listen to all of that go in your head and say, okay, thank you for sharing. Negative belly. And now we're going to talk about how much I love my thighs and how much I love my face and all everything that you love, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But if you can believe it, even if you're looking at something and you're like, yo, this needs to be half this size or this needs to get its ass to the gym. Okay. But that's what we're looking towards doing. But right now, I love myself and I can look good in anything. And I think even if you want to become something that you're physically not right now, to explore the idea of, well, what if the way I look right now was the
the platform and the norm for beautiful. What if everybody in the world wanted to look like me? And sit with that and see how that feels.
I mean, did you try it right now? Because it instantly feels great. Everything's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you look at like Marilyn Monroe back in the day. If she was out today, they would consider her Lena Dunham. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
You know, and it's ridiculous because Marilyn was slamming. You know, you look at Betty Page, slamming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, today, they'd be like, oh, you know, she's fat. It's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Like
she's a woman. She's gorgeous.
Right.
That's what a woman's, you know, I shouldn't say that's what a woman's supposed to look like, but that, I mean, you know, to be just beautiful, you know what I mean, instead of trying to be this thing that's, you know, like a walking skeleton in jeans, which I don't get. I mean, if that's how you are, then that's how you are. But when people are, like, starving themselves and doing all kinds of things to themselves because they're like, you know, I'm not sexy unless my hip bone is, like, poking out. You know, hey, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's not just women. Guys may be on the low with it, and you know, we don't like, you know, we don't have a bunch of magazines telling us, you know, you know, be, you know, feel good about yourself and other body issues and tips on how to, you know, lose that slab. And we don't have it, although we have like Men's Journal and stuff like that. But guys are just as insecure. They're just as insecure. You know, you put a guy who you think is just like normal. And, like, he's okay with himself, but you put him up against, you know, you put him next to, like DMX in his heyday or, you know, Brad Pitt from Fight Club, and, you know, all of a sudden he starts sucking in his gut.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he may not say it out loud, but it's there. And that's because it's what society likes. And then also he sees the reaction of women to somebody like that. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, it's just how it is. It's how it is.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, hopefully one day the world won't have to go through these struggles because we will have done the work that we're born into a society that accepts everyone as a human. And this is your meat suit and you do what you want with it. But, you know, be comfortable because it's the only one you get. And, you know, let it be what it is. But I think that's why we're doing, that's part of our world consciousness really is bringing ourselves out of these ideas and control propaganda really to make ourselves, because when we're happier with our bodies, everything is always easier, you know? I mean, you're comfortable even as an actor. I mean, you know that's half the work really. It's walking and talking, but you need to be comfortable in your body, you yourself, to actually play other parts and then take on their body type, you know, so.
Yeah. No,
but
go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of people that don't go to acting school, you know, never had that training, like how to be comfortable, how not to be a talking head and how to sit in yourself, you know. Go on.
Yeah. No, and I was just going to say, like with this one project, I put on, like, 29, about 24 or 29 pounds. I can't remember what it was now.
Yeah.
And you know, you know, I did it because I felt like it was more, you know, it's kind of based on an actual person who was a little bit more heavy set. But just in where the vulnerability of this guy, that was more like, you know, an internal vulnerability. Outside, he seemed like this big guy who can handle whatever comes in front of him. But you start to, you know, walk like that and be in my shoes, you know, at 29, and people react to you different. You know, it's a real subtle thing. It's not like I was like, you know, I mean, it was only about 24, 29 pounds or so. But, you know, it wasn't like I was put on 50 or 60, which is a whole other level
category
of how people that react. Exactly. But it's this little slight shift, and you know, it's just interesting. It's interesting how what it's like to just move around with that extra bit on you, and then how people then react to you. And it's, you know, but it, in that case, it was very necessary for that part that I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I feel the same way as a woman. Like, I'm a morpher, which means really you just fluctuate back and forth depending on the year, the month, whatever. And
yeah.
So about 30 pounds back and forth. And I can see the difference, especially with the way that white men react to me. If I'm thinner, they'll notice me more. And blonde,
mm-hmm.
they always notice me. I mean, I was a bartender, dyed my hair blonde, and all of a sudden there were 20s coming my way from white men and and I was wondering where the candid camera was because it just seemed way too predictable. But it's the truth. So,
yeah.
And then bigger, you know, more black guys and Latino guys are more interested, which thank God, like thank God for black guys and Latino dudes. Really, I mean, there are plenty of white guys that get it, but I mean, woo, because we would have way more issues as big girls if it wasn't for you guys. So I just want to go ahead and thank, you know, the ethnics. Hallelujah. So,
well, you know, you could always go to Russia, and I'm sure that you know, they like the, you know, and like German women are like usually a little bit more, you know, like womanly. You know what I mean?
Mm. But then we have
yeah.
all these German models that weigh like, you know, 70 pounds.
That's
and
true. And Russian models too.
Right.
They're like
right.
yeah, like 80 pounds soaking wet.
Right. Right. So
I don't know,
if we're like,
you know, and I think the biggest joke of all is that the what has become the ideal of a woman has come from basically a, you know, sort of like a fashion designer, you know, even like a gay fashion designer's ideal of a model.
Right.
And basically,
which is a 14-year-old boy.
But at the end of the day, it's really just something that can look good, basically a hanger, a wire hanger that looks good in clothes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And all of a sudden, right. as a society, we've decided, oh, yeah, that's sexy. And you're just like, really? No. Wire hangers are not sexy. I'm going to go even further, you know, on PC, since I'm already, like, put myself out there. But, like, you saw, like, what's that one with Vin Diesel? What's that series called? Where they drive.
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious. They go to Brazil, right? They go to Brazil, and, you know, they need to get to talk to this kingpin that's there. And one of like, Vin Diesel's crew, this woman, she's like, wearing, like, this robe around, and, like, well, how can we get there? And she's just like, basically, you know, I got it. I'm going to handle it. And she takes off her robe, and she starts walking to – she is thick thin. And we're supposed to suspend our disbelief as an audience that this thick thin girl in Brazil is going to go over and seduce a drug cartel leader. And I'm like, bullshit. Bullshit. Okay? You're in Brazil, home of the big ass. You know what I'm saying? And I can't believe this film. You know, doesn't make a difference all of the, you know, driving down the street with a giant face, you know, chained to the back of the car. That I can believe. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can believe whatever tricks and people getting murdered and killed. At that point in the film, I was like, bullshit.
No.
I don't believe you.
No.
I don't believe you. He would send her ass out. So he'd be like, guards, get this thing out of here. But this is how we've been conditioned. Like
right.
like that was sexy. Like being able to see every bone in your spine is
right.
supposed to be attractive. You know what I mean? It's just like, nah,
right.
nah, dude, it's not.
Right.
Some people who are like, that's natural. Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what, you know, it's just like we're not stupid. You know what I mean? And these people who basically tell us, you know, what is culture, you know, that is what movies do. Movies tell us what is hip, what is culture, what is history, and they project these things, and, you know, film especially, more so than music, more so than, like, visual art or anything else like that, really determines how we see the world. And granted, you could also probably lump in there, you know, you know, people who do like Mad Men, those people who do ads and stuff like that. You know, they tell us, and but still, even you see through mostly commercials, even though there's magazine and print, but like really tell you, like, okay, this is pretty, this is not, and I find it amazing because they're really selling it hard. When you do something like that and you think it's okay, that's a sickness. That goes beyond. That's just like, I'm just like, come on. He's telling me everybody on the crew was just not like laughing. Like, seriously, that's you're in Brazil. You're in Brazil.
Right. Yeah, but Americans made the movie, and you know, and corporate America made the movie. And if you keep, I mean, think about it from their point of view, it works, because what are you doing? You're making most of the women, you have to let them vote, because, you know, they fought, and so, okay, they can vote. and now you also have to kind of, you know, give them the same jobs as you, okay, you know, all right, fine. But the way that we can control them is have them malnourish themselves. Have them constantly in starvation mode, which what happens? Your brain becomes less important. It's about keeping your organs alive. So your brain is not functioning, and you're going to be, I mean, why do you think models are so like, what, you know, I mean, it's a stereotype, but it's true, because they're not, I mean, is it really, they're not eating. And so they're emotional, because the body is in freak out mode. It's in survival. And the rest of their brain, they don't have the nourishment to, and God forbid anything with protein, you know, because protein and fat, that's what builds brain cells. So really, you're just keeping them skinny and dumb and chasing this thing that doesn't exist, that, yeah, unless it's your natural body type, will never be you, and or it can be you, but then you're sacrificing your brain, and your happiness, and they do it willingly. So really, I mean, if you think about, if you are a mastermind of control, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy, and we've all done it willingly. You know, you can't control the masses, but if you have the masses controlling themselves by, you know, regulation of certain things because they think they need to, well, you don't even have to touch these people. You can have them exactly where you want them to be, and then buying, you know, $5,000 whatever, you know, after they've done
exactly
3 years, you know? I mean,
buying a $5,000 size zero jean.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's important to acknowledge exactly what this is. And then, you know, I do talk about, because the body, and so, and there's no reason why it can't be one of your works of art, however that is, you know, however you feel most comfortable within yourself. And so, you know, especially in America with the crappy food that we have, it's not easy to stay at a weight that is comfortable. It's amazing. Every time I go to Italy, all about the food, and I don't hold back. I mean, it's the greatest. It's like, you know, the Garden of Eden to me.
That's
and
good food.
Yeah. Yes, it's incredible.
Like good,
clean food. That's right. And I drop pounds. I've dropped like 15 pounds within like 3 weeks. Like, just like that, and then it stays with me, and I try to eat what I ate there, and it never works. The pounds always come back. So if you're listening to this from America, just know that our food's kind of fucked up right now. So whatever you can do to stick to organic fruits and vegetables, even if that's the only thing that's organic, it'll nourish your body and nourish your brain and nourish your spirit so much more than if you don't have good produce, really, because that's where we get a lot of the nutrients that we need also to lose weight, but just to function at a high level of energy and mental capacity. So, and also, we may want to see something
in ourselves. We have an ideal. We all know where we're most comfortable, or even if we haven't been there, we have an idea of what we would like our bodies to look like. So a good exercise to do is to just lay down and visualize how your perfect body feels, looks, and sometimes, and more specific and you can be, and more feeling it actually as your body that you can do also is really a great thing. And it takes a little bit of work. I mean, if you're far away from where you would like to be, or even if, you know, you were last summer but you're not now, you know, you can kind of struggle to find what that visual is. But it doesn't matter, you know, any kind of visualization and that feeling of it feeling good, like feeling comfortable in your body. And it starts to translate, whether you lose an ounce or gain an ounce, whatever, it doesn't matter. You'll get that feeling of being more comfortable in your body, like a meditation is for your mind. It's a 5-minute exercise to be comfortable in your, you know, spaces, really. Have you ever done that?
Exactly. I mean, I do meditate. And I guess it's kind of, you know, the reasons I do it are sort of like what we're talking about here. It's not necessarily for body, although that's what I, you know, I do like my yoga and stuff like that for, because I got tired of doing the weights, because, you know, that's just usually just masturbation. You know what I mean? Just a bunch of guys who just can't, you know, bend, and all they do is like talk to each other without actually giving eye contact. They're just posing to see who's looking at them. Anyway, that's a whole other tangent.
I've heard a lot about that at the gym. There's this whole men posing for men thing. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's really uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I'm just like, dude, get away from me.
I don't want to
get to know you. Exactly.
That's funny.
Anyway, go on. It's weird. So, you know, so I got more into, you know, doing yoga, doing different types of, like just your own weight exercises. Not like the crazy insanity stuff like that. That's usually just a fad. I want to do things that I know that I will do straight into, like, when I'm 80 years old. You know what I mean? That's
right.
Like sort of like a mind, body, spirit kind of a thing. And then obviously running and stuff like that. And for those out there, I found that it's better to run without music, because then you really get in touch with yourself. But beyond that, the meditation has really helped with just, you know, getting to the self, you know what I mean? Getting to myself and quieting all of the craziness and blocking out, you know, everything else, which is usually just what, going back to the body issues, like, you know, what people's perception of you are, and you trying to struggle and make sure that you kind of conform to this stuff. I mean, you know, it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's bullshit. You know, I mean, there's only you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how you go about this world, how you see the world. And there's such a degree of calm that comes from that. And also just a finding of peace within yourself. And so, like, yeah, it's weird, but meditation has really, really helped with all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does come from within, and that comfortable, because, you know, if you're not comfortable in your body and there's anything else wrong in the world as well, in your world, it can all, once again, jump into the same basket. And I'll say this probably a million times on the show, but you can't put everything in one basket, because the basket's too heavy. It's too heavy. You got to separate, you know, because then you find yourself in a hole. And so you were saying about, finding something that you can do till you're 80. That I think is a really great, it's a great thing for your body, but it's also a great thing for your mind, because it takes the time limit of how long you can do this off.
and you can get into a habit and definitely keep yourself way younger than if, you know, you were trying to do something that, you know, you need all kinds of spryness for.
Right,
you know.
Exactly.
Like Tai Chi is the same thing. I love Tai Chi, and it just like yoga, it's like moving yoga, and it's all about distributing your weight always in an even manner. If you're doing it right, there's never a moment that you are in a position that is off balance and easily pushed over. So it definitely helps with the circulation and with getting in touch with your body, which is also something I wanted to mention. Is your body's natural range of movement. So many times in our lives, we just do the same things, walk to work, take a shower, maybe go to the gym, maybe not, you know, bend over, pick something up. It's all the same sort of back and forth motion. But your body does so many things, and it's really an engineering feat of incredibleness, because it can go in so many different directions. So just taking, again, 10 minutes or as long as you want to do it, just feeling the range of motion, your arms going around in a windmill, how many different ways can your shoulder support your arm and move it, and stretching just a little bit, you know, how far can I go before it's a strain, and that's enough. And with your legs and your torso, just that exercise can help you to get in touch with your body and naturally just starts to strengthen it. You don't even have to go to the gym, especially if you've never worked out or have no interest in working out. That's fine too. If you just move your body around in all the different ways that it goes, you'll see that it starts to strengthen itself and it starts to become more elastic and you feel a little bit taller and you feel a little bit thinner and
yeah.
Your food is digested better, and you can sleep better, literally,
yeah.
Just 10 minutes.
And the muscles that you get from that is real. You know what I mean? It's not this fake gym muscle that,
right.
You know,
one
you stop
way,
going
one
to
motion.
The, exactly. Exactly. You stop going to the gym, and all of a sudden you start getting fat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you lean. It makes everything pure. It's just like you're talking about with the food. You know, you eat pure food and your body knows how to digest that because we evolved eating real food. We're eating real vegetables, eating real meat if you're a meat eater. You know what I mean? And all this fake crap. If you're picking up anything at the grocery store and it has more than, you know, some ingredient that has like 8 syllables, you probably shouldn't be eating that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just that simple. Yeah.
Salt and sugar. I mean, just so much. Forget about the fat and the calories. That's fine. If it's high in salt and sugar, it's going to mess with your body, and it's going to make you not be able to digest what is a natural amount of calories and fat.
Yeah.
I mean, just paying attention to that. If that's all you read on the package, it's going to make a difference. And it helps also to look at, I worked with a bartender once, and she was like, when you see like 34 grams of sugar, 25 grams of sugar, she was like, do you have any idea how much sugar that is? It's like half a cup. Like, it's an insane amount of sugar. But because of the salt, the high salt content, you don't taste the sugar so much. Okay, so then why are they putting so much sugar in this product? And we're right back
mm-hmm.
to Babylon, controlling you and giving you diabetes and cancer and anything else that you may need a prescription and a hospital stay for. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So, and, you know, you don't have to go nuts. You don't have to... You know, vegan and vegetarian, okay, cool, but you don't even have to go that
yeah.
way. You can still eat
you,
everything
you
like.
Exactly. You don't have to be the crazy, you know, person in the restaurant who's, like, weighing their fish. They,
right.
like, have their own little scale. You know, you don't, it's everything, it's just moderation. That's really all it is. You know, you'd be amazed just with how little the body can not only, like, to survive off. I'm not saying, like, for those people who, like, count their calories to, like, a perfect, you know, I can't get more than 16 and a half calories. No, that's bullshit. It's just moderation. That's all it is. If you can have a salad a day, great. You can still have a dinner. You know what I mean? If you're
right.
If you're exercising, if you're moving, if your body is moving around and being able to digest food, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Once you start to bring in that other stuff, then all of a sudden you start to, especially once you finally do get in tune with your body, you will know when you bring in that, like, that outside object and your body's like, ooh, what was that?
Right. Right.
What the fuck was that?
Which happens sometimes. You're like, yo, I had to have that Twinkie or whatever, you know, process. It just had to happen. And your body's like, okay. Because it's, you know, it already has its processing higher than if it has to digest something that it can't process all the time. So, again, you know, this world is meant to be enjoyed. Just help your body so that, you know, if you do have to have something, quote unquote, you know, disgustingly fantastic, then you can do that and it's not a problem, you know. And it also helps with not punishing yourself, not feeling bad about what you're eating, no matter what it is that you're eating. Because, you know, sometimes you can't, it's not convenient. There's too much going on to really be thinking about a good diet. You know, hopefully it's for a short period of time and eventually you can give your body some nourishment. But actually, before I forget, there's one thing that you can do. It's called Vibrant Greens. You can find it at a health food store or Whole Foods, whatever. And you just take a scoop of it in water. It tastes a little bit like fish food, but whatever. Just think of it as your medicine. And it gives your body every green substance it could possibly ever need. And it's amazing. Like, it helps everything, your brain, your digestion, your energy, your skin. It's amazing. Like, it's just a shot of, it's just like taking a vitamin. You just have to take a shot of it. I heard if you can't stand the water, do it with apple juice. But again, apple juice has a lot of sugar. So, you know, if you can get organic, but whatever. At the end of the day, you do what you need to do. That's my motto. But your idea of what you're thinking when you're eating, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a Twinkie or a salad. If you feel good about it and you say to it, if you want, you are going to nourish me and I am so happy and thankful to have you and thank you for all your nutrients and that's it. And see your body processing it and it gets whatever it needs and it goes wherever it needs to go instead of, oh, my God, this is going to make me fat. Because once you think this is going to make me fat, your body believes everything that your mind tells it, whether you know that or not. It does. It goes, oh, you know, we're going to be fat. Okay, that's what you want. Okay, then let's do that. And so you can kind of get yourself into this spin, this cycle. You could be eating all the right things, but if you keep thinking that you're fat, it's not going to make a difference. You can keep yourself in that hole. It's amazing how your mindset really, how you're feeling about what you're doing affects everything because it's the vibration that you're putting out there. You're saying, okay, this is what I want, whether you're even saying this is not what I want, but you're feeling it so strongly, the universe responds to that. It goes, oh, she shot off a rocket of fat, so let's do that. Let's respond to that. Go ahead. Here you go. And you're like, well, I didn't want that. And you're like, well, then you shouldn't have asked for it. You know, I mean, that is part of spirit therapy to recognize the rockets that you are launching. And none of us are perfect. Not one person on this planet
is launching everything in a positive manner. But it's amazing. If you just do a little bit of tinkering and a little bit of, ooh, that was a little negative. Maybe I could say that better to myself. Maybe I could enjoy this better with myself. It makes
yes.
a huge difference. Huge.
Yeah. It really does. There's something, you know, you hear about it and you think it's like this is like this hokey pokey kind of thing, but how you see the world determines how the world then how then you experience the world. You know what I mean? How people in the world come, you know, experience you. And that affects food, that affects how you eat, that affects how, you know, how you choose to exercise and all of those things. I mean, you are, you know, it may sound weird, but you are God. You know what I mean? You create
mm-hmm.
your experience because your experience dies with you because everybody else's mm-hmm. experience is going to be totally different. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And so how you put yourself out there, God, I think I sound like Will Smith at this point.
No, not yet. I'll let you know if you do. We're like, right?
but it is really important. If your mind is healthy and you put that out there and really get it, and it goes back to the whole meditation thing, and get rid of these negative thoughts and this negative, you know, continuous spiral of thoughts that happens in a lot of people, you know, all of a sudden you attack the world differently. You take that energy that you're using, that, you know, that's being wasted on insecurity and fear, which fear is a huge, huge aspect of, you know, it usually all comes down to fear, you know,
right.
whether something that happened to you when you're a child or whatever. Once you master that, then the world is your oyster. It may not happen exactly as you planned. It's like, you know, I plan to be, you know, rich or whatever. It may not happen in that kind of a way. But, you know, that richness will come to you in different ways. You know what I mean? It may not come tomorrow. It may not come next year. But it will happen because you've set yourself on that path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think anybody who tells you that it's easy is a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It is you are spending the rest of your life on self-improvement.
Yeah, and beyond.
And
forever.
Even,
you'll never
and
get
beyond.
It
back. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
that's,
you
that's
tell
how
your
I'm
own.
I'm dropping the mic and I'm walking off. Sexual chocolate.
Thank
okay.
you. That was such a great visual. Bang. You know, holding up peace signs. You know.
No, I'm just,
good. Yes, great. But it's true. You tell your own story. You're the author of your own story. And the entire story is always and can only be read, seen, experienced within you. So you might as well tell yourself the best story possible. I mean, why not? It's your life. You tell yourself whatever you want. You're Rick Ross, and you go, I am a sexy motherfucker. And guess
I
what?
Am.
You
yeah.
are. And good for you. Good for you. There are a lot of sexy people that are. I told my British friend that was on last week. I said, you know, I have a crush on two of your British actors, David Tennant and Benedict Cumberbatch. Yes, that's his name. And awesome, Cumberbatch, Mrs. Cumberbatch, right? You're a girl. You thought
wow.
of that, right? So I told these two dudes, and I was like, yeah, you know, I think they're really sexy. And he was like, oh, so you like the weird-looking dudes. And I was like, I do. If you're too perfect, yeah, you know, like, because a lot of times it's like, it's sort of like claymation. Like, it's just all kind of
yeah.
out here. And then you're talking, and I don't know, you're getting uglier with every word, you know, like, that's not... I want you to be you.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
kind of quirky, you know, shaggy one eye, whatever your thing is, if you're you and you love you, I think that's awesome. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Unreal.
You know,
I think more people maybe feel that way than we really realize. And that, yeah, okay, the world may still be on this, you know, you have to be a skeleton or you have to have, you know, a million muscles protruding out of everywhere or whatever. But that let them do that. There are, if you're comfortable with who you are, being a real human being that is healthy and, you know, look at any Renaissance painting. And people are different. And they look voluptuous and they just, you know, strong and healthy and happy with themselves. You know, yes, that's what we really, you can attract that. There's plenty of us out there that's really looking for the real and not some sort of cardboard cutout, you know?
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 So, I can't top that.
Awesome. Awesome. So we just have a couple minutes here left. And I keep going back and forth on this, but I need to stick this in here. And, you know, maybe we'll talk
about it
again on another show. But, you know, self-love, i.e. any kind of masturbation, is also a good idea
to
get more comfortable with your body. I have to say it because it's the truth, you know? Puritan said you can't say that. Everybody else is cool with it.
All I got to say is myfreeblack.com. Done. If you don't
shout
know,
out for
I can know.
Nice. That's awesome. Oh, my God. Yeah, and, you know, XTube is also fun because they're real people, you know, doing all kinds of wacky shit.
Wow.
You learn a lot also by humanity. So anyway, so there's that. You know, we'll give you all the information. It's a total package here at Spirit Therapy.
See the website for links and details.
That's right. But really, I mean, you know, that's another thing that we need to get past. And I'm sure I will do a show on sexuality because it's another thing that has been put under ball and chain and controlled by, you know, the whoever, Babylon that be. And it's also tripping us up, and that has a lot to do with our body image as well. So, you know, and even to me, masturbation, even that word has like such a, you know, dirty, filthy, like hairy palmed connotation, you know, thanks Catholic Church, but it's ridiculous. It's a wonderful thing. It's self-love. And even just, not even in a sexual way, or maybe it is, but just touching yourself, like just touching your own body and loving it. If you've never done it, sometimes you have to say, you know, loving it as if it were someone that you love, you know, like someone else.
I'm doing it
you
now.
Know?
I mean, you know.
Right. Yeah. And spreading your energy, your own love energy around yourself by, you know, the power of touch is very, very crucial to our existence. That's why we live in society together, you know. We like to touch things. We like to touch each other. So why not touch ourselves with the same love? There you go.
Because you'll go to hell.
What? Because you'll go to hell. There is no hell. It's hell if you don't love yourself. That's your own hell.
That is true, yes.
Well, thank you, Anselm. And the ladies and gentlemen, that we have 60 seconds. I'm going to play us out with a little Peter Tosh, I Am That I Am.
Nice.
Check me out on Facebook, Nicole Tomasini. Email me if you want a private session, and have a good night, everyone. Thanks again, Anthony.
No doubt. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Peace out, spirits. We'll be right back.
to live up to your expectations. Neither are you here to live up to mine. Yeah. I don't owe no one, no obligation. No one owes me none, so everything is fine. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am. Don't underestimate my ability. Don't definite my character. Don't belittle my authority. It's time you recognize my quality. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am. Learn to love. Don't covet your neighbor. See from the city, it's getting shitty. It is full of antiquity. I said I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am that I am, I am, I am, I am. I am the rock of ages, you cannot move I at all. I am the sun of lightning, you cannot move I at all. Son of Jacob, cannot be moved. I am the son of Moses, you can move ahead. I am the son of David, you cannot move ahead. I am a firm like God, you cannot move ahead.
Peace and love.